a smorgasbord on the Akedah. The we know that this Nisayan, that this test, is attributed to Avraham Avinu, not to Yitzchak, which is one of the most fascinating things here. Who's, you know, there's an old Jewish joke about a fellow who's on his deathbed, and he says, "Honey, I want to give the car to our son Sam." And she says, "Sam, he has three cars. What does he need to get another car for?" "Okay, give it to Betty." "And I want to give the vacation home to George." "What is it?" The wife says, "What does George need another vacation home for? He can barely take care of the one he has." "Okay, give it to Sam." And this goes on. And finally, after the fourth thing she disagrees with, he says to her, "Tell me, honey, who's dying, me or you?" Right? So what is this? What is the Akedah being attributed to Avram for? It, you know, who's dying here, me or you? But the truth is that the Mefarshim say that in essence that really is the answer. That it is Avram's Nisayan, because Avram is going to have to continue his life knowing that he took the life of his son. Whereas Yitzchak, it's one moment and it's over. Having said that, there's an astounding Medrash. Medrash says, when Hashem says to Avram, "Kach no, please take, as bincha, as yichidcha, please." So Hashem says to Avram Avinu, "Bivakosh imcha, I plead with you. Even though I know that this is the final test of 10 great tests, I don't want anybody saying that the earlier tests, that those tests were easy. But you see, the 10th test he couldn't overcome, so it's clear that the other tests were meaningless." Now, all the commentaries say that's totally not fair, because in life, we all have numerous tests. We win some, we lose some. So if we lose some, does that dismiss the ones that we won? That's not, we don't view it that way. We know the ones we won, we won. The ones we lose, we lose. We get ourselves, we pick ourselves up. We march on and we do better next time. But why would, let's say, God forbid, Avraham Avinu would have failed the final test, the test of the Akedah? In what way does that dismiss the other 9 tests that he prevailed over? So there's a very fundamental yisoid about tests, about life, about trials and tribulations. And that is as follows. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, when he created human beings, created each of us with given character traits, with nature. Each of us has the nature, and it's fascinating to watch, and especially in children at the earliest age, you see kids develop their tendencies, their natural affinities towards, just it's an amazing thing to watch in young children. It's less amazing when people grow up and become stuck in their in our ways, and we see the things that are really difficult for us to break out of our comfort zones. And one of the things that the Mefarshim talk about is that it's very, I would say it's easy, but it certainly is easier for us to be able to do things that are within our nature or within kind of the confines of what we're comfortable with. So you have people who throw themselves into chesed, and they can raise millions of dollars, and they can do all kinds of things. But the minute they have to stand up for a principle, it's not my thing. It's not for me. And they can't do it. Conversely, you have people who are tough like nails, and they can, you know, withstand anything, but they can't part with a penny. And these are all traits of human beings. Mefarshim say that what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was saying to Avram was, Avram, every test that you overcame up until this point somehow was consistent with your nature. I want you to do something that is going to be the total opposite of who you are. The Apteruv writes in Oyev Yisrael that the reason Yitzchak was called Yitzchak, it brings B'Shem the Mekubalim, that Yitzchak's nature, his DNA, not what he acquired, but inbuilt into his nature was, thank you, was a fierce Midas HaGvura. His strength, his conviction of, you know, of piercing justice was such that when the Malachim saw the nature of the Neshama that was being given to Avram, who had the total opposite nature, they had no option but to laugh. It was funny. In fact, Abdurav says there, he says, Kidumya, he says, I want to compare it to people who on Purim, you see sometimes men dressed in women's clothing, women's dressed in men's clothing, and it's pushed at the surprise element. It's funny. It's just that you crack up because it's not what you expect. Some people use that as a somewhat of a proof that on Purim the prohibition of the Silbash does not apply. Anyhow, so here, Yitzchak, Avram Avinu was called upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say to him, look, Avram, I don't want anybody to be able to say that the reason you were able to overcome the first 9 tests was because they were somehow consistent with your nature. Come the one test where I ask you to act in Midas HaGevura, to act with this fierce strength, you couldn't do it. So they'll say, HaRishayim Lo Yehayim Mamoshes, that the first tests really were not tests because they were consistent with your nature. So the Abdurav says with that, that's the conversation that takes place here. He says, Avram and Yitzchak are walking to the Akedah. It's chapter 22, Pasuk 7. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avram Aviv. Yitzchak says to his father Avram, Vayomer Avi, and he says, again repeating, and he says, he just said that, he said, Vayomer Hineni Bini. So the Abdurav says, Yitzchak is walking with his father and sees what the plan is here. Vayomer Avi, and he says to him, is this you, my father? This doesn't make sense. This is so inconsistent with who you are. You are going to take the life of your child? You're going to act with this Midas HaGvura? Vayomer Avram answers, Hineni Bini. No, now I am my son. Not Hineni, here I am my son. But Hineni Bini, now I am my son. That what this trial calls for is for me to become you, for me to take on your Midas HaGvura. And in fact, that's what the Malach says to him later on when he tells him to stop. Ki atu yadati ki yireya lekimata. I knew up until this point that you loved God. The question was, could you take on the attribute of yira, of fear, of gvura? Now I see that when the hour calls for it, you can even do that. I'll tell you in a second. So how that's included in Kachna. The Vizhnitzer Rebbe, Reb Chaim Meirel, puts it into the opening verse of the parsha. He says that's what Hashem says to Avram. Vayomer, Hashem says to Avram, Kachna es bincha es yichidcha. Take your son, your only son. He says that was the command. Meaning, Avram, take him. Meaning, not take him, but take on his persona. Kachna es bincha es yichidcha. You become him. That's what this Nisayan is about. Let's see if you, Bala Chesed, Master of Chesed, Master of Kindness, can you become Midas HaGvura? And then he adds as follows, Asher Ahavta, and as far as your love goes, as Yitzchak, let Yitzchak take that on. There's a complete reversal of the roles. You take him, and let him become you. And that was the victory of the Nisayan of the Akedah, is that they were able to exchange roles and take on the midah of the other. The Chayz of Lublin says that the Akedah teaches us another thing. He says there's a very strange term that's used. It says here, they came to the place that Hashem told him, and Avram built the altar, he prepared the wood, he tied Yitzchak and he put him on the Mizbeach, Vayishlach Avram es Yodoi, and Avram sent forth his hand, Vayikach Samacheles Lishchet es Benai, and he took the knife to slaughter Yitzchak. So what's Vayishlach Avram es Yodoi? Avram sent his hand. It's a language you don't find anywhere else. Where is he sending his hand? So he says that we find by the Avos that they were able to master the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point where their limbs automatically responded to the will of Hashem. To the degree where the above Bezeda says in the opening Pasuk for this week's Parsha, that the Pasuk there says as follows. Avram Avinu was conversing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem came to visit him. He's sitting by the open tent. Vayisa Einav, and he lifts his eyes. Vayar, and he sees. V'hinei shleisha anashim nitzavim alav, there are three people coming. Vayar, and he sees. Vayaretz likrasam, and he goes to greet them. And Chazal say, we learn from here that greeting the Shechina, that the inviting guests, is greater than conversing with the Shechina. Because Avram interrupted his conversation with Hashem to go out and greet the guests. So we learn it from Avram. Where did Avram get it from? Avram didn't have access to Rashi. So how did Avram know it? So he says, this you say, that the Avos knew that their limbs were in tune with the will of HaKadosh Baruch. So Avram is conversing with Hashem, and all of a sudden, he sees these three guests. Avram didn't see anything when he was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless it was relevant to his service of Hashem. So he says, Vayar, he saw three people. Vayar, he says, hey, I just saw that. If that's the case, it must be that greeting, that inviting guests is greater than speaking with the Shekhinah, because otherwise there was no reason for him to have seen those, for him to have seen the guests. So he says that's what happened by the Akedah. What was Hashem's true will? Hashem's true will was that he not slaughter Yitzchak. So Avram, as always, as he was accustomed, his limbs went ahead, and by themselves, he was so in tune that his limbs did the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes to the Akedah, and Avram Avinu binds Yitzchak. Everything's going on automatic. It's all working out great. All of a sudden, he's waiting for his hand to take the knife and slaughter Yitzchak. Well, his hand isn't moving anywhere. And we all know that his hand wasn't moving anywhere because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire was that he not slaughter Yitzchak. Right? But Avram is wondering, here Hashem says to him, bring him up as an Eilah, and his hand isn't moving to slaughter Yitzchak. So Avram had to override the system. Vayishlach Avram es Yodei. Avram had to actively send out his hand against his intuition, against his normal system that operated in sync with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here he had to override the system and go ahead to take the knife. Comes the angel, and the angel says to him, Al tishlach yodcha lanar, don't send forth your hand against the lad. Don't do anything to him. And don't, let's see how he translates that. Don't, since you have not withheld. No, that's before that. 12. Yeah. I know that you're a God-fearing man. Since you have not withheld your son, your only one, from me. So the Mefarshim say like this. Every time a person performs a mitzvah, we create a heavenly being. Imagine, we create an angel, okay? Famous words from the Reb Zisha that he says that Machshava Toiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar for Lamaisa, that a good thought, Hashem combines it or considers it as an action. So he says, it should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechashve the Ma'aseh. Hashem considers it. Mitzarfoi means he combines it. So he says every time we perform a mitzvah, we create an angel. So if we perform the mitzvah with gishmak and we do it right, so the action creates the body of the angel. The intent, the excitement creates the soul of the angel. If one of the two is missing, we end up having crippled angels. So you have mitzvahs that are done without gishmak, you have bodies without souls. Conversely, you have mitzvahs that we want to do, we're all geared up to do it, and then something happens, you can't do it. So you have the soul without the body. Comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he makes a shidduch system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfoi l'maaseh, he takes the desire that we wanted to do something and he finds an angel that's missing a soul and he combines the two to create a robust, healthy angel. Here, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, go ahead and take your son, bring him up as an oilah. So Avraham Avinu goes ahead and brings Yitzchak, and now an angel comes and says, don't do it. Now, Hashem said to do it, and an angel comes and says, don't do it. Well, this is not the right hierarchy, right? If it's the opposite, the angel says to do it, Hashem says don't do it, we understand. So he says, the angel wants to show Avraham Avinu that the mitzvah was already completed. So he says to the angel, the angel says to Avraham Avinu, look at me, I'm healthy, I'm robust, I'm full of life, I'm perfect in every which way. That shows you, Avraham, I'm the angel that was created from this Ma'aseh HaKedah, that's me. He says, V'lechasachto es bincho es yichidcha. Don't do anything to your son, mimeni. Because look at me, look, you see from me that the mitzvah is over, so don't touch him, it's all done. Everything that needed to happen here is already done and over with. Don't touch him. So here's as follows, the Hafla was a very fascinating figure in Jewish history, in that the Hafla and his brother, the Rebbe Shmelke of Nicholsburg, were probably the two most influential of the Talmidei HaMagid in the non-Hasidic world. The Hafla became rabbi in Frankfurt am Main, which was hardly a Hasidic center. According to many, it was in Germany. And he had a tremendous, tremendous impact, totally concealing his identity to the point where there are scholars now who would like to deny the fact that he was a disciple of the Maggid, although it's completely moronic because there's numerous, numerous live accounts at the time of him being there. So the Hafla addresses the question we asked earlier. It's a question of the Zohar. Why is it considered Avram's test rather than Yitzchak's test? After all, Yitzchak was the one whose life was in danger. So the Hafla says a wild thing. He says like this, that Chazal say that there are only three Avos. Ein Karin Avos Elishloisha. There's only three figures in Jewish history that are called the Avos. So he says as follows, what's the definition of an Av? He says the Av is a person who is a neshama klalit, an all-encompassing neshama, meaning all the neshamas of all the Klal Yisrael that are destined to come about were included in his soul. Okay? Avraham Avinu had such a neshama klalis. The minute Yitzchak was born, that neshama transferred to Yitzchak, and Avram became an individual again. The minute Yankiv was born, that neshama klolis was taken away from Yitzchak and was given to Yankiv. Yankiv became the neshama klolis, and Yitzchak became an individual. When the Shvatim came about, the neshama klolis was divided into 12. And therefore, each Shevet has their neshama that goes back to the individual Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and so on, but the concept of a neshama klolus no longer existed. Okay? Now, so the Hafalah says that for this reason, the Nisayan for Yitzchak was not as great, because Yitzchak was not an individual. Yitzchak was walking into it with the neshamas of all of Klal Yisrael that were destined to be, all of the greats of Klal Yisrael, all the tens of thousands of people who went to their deaths al Kiddush Hashem, and therefore he had the assistance. It's really the opposite of so many of the commentaries ask, how is it that people throughout the ages were able to give their lives? And the answer is from the Akedah. Here it's a flip, exactly the flip. Yitzchak took his strength from the Spanish Inquisition. Yitzchak took his strength from the Holocaust. It's the flip side, that they took their strength from the neshamas that were included in them because they were no longer individual neshamas. Avraham Avinu, however, was totally on his own because he had already transferred that neshama to Yitzchak. So for Avraham Avinu, he went at this as an individual. So the Imre Yosef says that Yitzchak didn't realize that this transfer had taken place. So Yitzchak, he says that every time we go about to perform a mitzvah, we're supposed to bond ourselves with our predecessors and with those neshamas that will follow, to have a complete tie with this neshama klolis of Klal Yisrael. We say in the nusach of L'shem Yichud, we say B'shem Kol Yisrael. We're doing this mitzvah in the name of all of Klal Yisrael. So there's a bond that takes place between us and the neshamas before us and the neshamas after us. Okay? Yitzchak understood that if the decree was that he's to be killed, so he figured, okay, Avram is going to have another son later, and he'll give him over this neshama klolis. I'm clearly out. It's not about me. Therefore, Yitzchak wanted at this moment to bond himself with the one that did have the neshama klolis, namely his father. He says that's the meaning. Vayomer Yitzchak l'Avram Aviv. Vayomer Avi, meaning, I need tate at this hour. I want to connect myself to you, meaning, you are the one who has the neshama klolis. I want to connect to you. Avraham Avinu, he says, however, knew, although he had not told Yitzchak, that Yitzchak was already the bearer of this neshama, and that all he was walking around with his own neshama. So therefore, the exact opposite took place. Avraham wanted to bond himself with the neshama klolis, namely with Yitzchak, because he wanted to be connected to all these neshamas. So Avram says, no, vayomer hineni b'ni, I need to connect to you, Yitzchak. You're trying to connect to me. No, hineni b'ni, I need to connect to you. Comes the pasuk and tesis on vayechu shneim yachdav. So they both were doing the exact same thing. Avram is connecting to Yitzchak. Yitzchak's connecting to Avram. So they're both walking with the exact same intent of trying to combine their intents. The Ach Pri Tevua from Reb Herschel Liske says with this a magnificent touch in the pasuk. It says at the end of the Teichacha, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, V'af es brisi Yitzchak, V'af es brisi Avram Esker. Hashem says, I will remember the covenant with Yaakov, I'll remember the covenant with Yitzchak, even the covenant with Avram. Normally, when we refer to the Avos, we refer to them as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Here the pasuk works its way backwards. I'll remember the covenant of Yaakov, of Yitzchak, and Avram. So he says that the reason is that we're addressing this issue of the transfer of this neshama klalis. So he says, therefore, that the greatness is the fact that they had this all-encompassing neshama. True. But don't look away from the fact that even after that was taken from them, that they remained awesomely great in their own right. He says, therefore, we refer first to Yaakov, where the neshama klolis, and then we go back to Yitzchak, and then we go back to Avram in the opposite order, to recognize the fact that even without this neshama klolis, they nonetheless remained at their individual greatness. He says, this is the meaning that we refer to all the time, that a person should say, Mosai yagiyu maisai lemaisai avoisai. When will my actions come to, when will they touch the actions of my avos? He says, this is not something out there, but that it's referring to a time when we were part of that. Because that neshama klolis meant we were there. We were part of that. And therefore, all we need to do is somehow, gain access to the strength that each of us put forth in those unique moments of trial. One of the disciples of Rebbe Melech Luzhensk was Rebbe Menachem Mendel of Rimenov. Mendel of Rimenov was, again, one of the who had numerous disciples who branched off of his legacy. Interestingly, he was not followed by his son. He had great children, but his children did not take over after him. His shamus, his gabai, became Rebbe after him. His name was Reb Hirsch Rimmon of Reb Hirsch Meshores. And people assumed that this Reb Hirsch was a tremendous simpleton and really had very little to him. But he was, Reb Hirsch Rimmon of Reb became, in a way, the Rebbe of most of Poland and Galicia. All the tzaddikim in his generation went to him. He was an amazing figure of a tower of especially of passionate avodah. Some great biographies written about Reb Hirsch Rimenov. They tell one interesting. He was a kohen, so they say that a fellow came to Reb Hirsch Rimenov and gave him a kvittel, and in the kvittel was a request for his father to die. So Reb Hirsch said that's quite a unique request. So the guy says, Reb, you don't understand. He's nothing but skin and bones. He's been laying there for months, doesn't eat anything, and he just can't die. And it's torture for him. So Reb Hirsch said, I want to come see him. So Reb Hirsch goes to visit, and he literally comes upon this skeleton with skin on it. And he begins to talk to him, and he sees the man knew nothing about Yiddishkeit, absolutely nothing. So he said to him, what did you do for a living? So he said he was a wagon driver. And one of the routes that he used to take was to bring Chassidim to Rebbe the Melech of Luzhensk. That was one of his routes. So he said to him, tell me, did you ever see Rebbe the Melech? He said, yes, I did see him. I saw him once from the back. He said he was a fine drunk, but he couldn't hold his liquor well. So he said, what do you mean? He said the back of his neck was red from his drinking. It was known that Reb Melech, when he would daven, that he'd become so inflamed in his tefillah that his neck would turn bright red. So he thought it was because of his drinking. So Reb Hirsch said that there's a Kabbalah that anybody who ever saw the Reb Melech would not die without doing tshuva. He said, this fellow, who had no clue about anything in Yiddishkeit, did not have the capacity to do tshuva, and as a result, he was just laying there all these months without the ability to die. So he began from Aleph. He began with the Avos and described to him Matan Torah, and that there was a Torah that was given, that there were obligations, and the fellow began to weep, that he had no idea what was he supposed to do. The minute this guy started crying, the Reb Hirsch said, look, I'm a Kohen, I can't be here anymore. He walked out of the house and the fellow died. So this is, what I'm about to tell you is from Reb Hirsch's Rebbe, Reb Mendel of Rimenov, and I believe that the ramifications of what I'm going to share with you are very, very far-reaching. He says that the Midrashim share with us incredible stories of perseverance, of victory that took place on the way to the Akedah. Just the craziest things that the Sultan did to prevent Avraham Yitzchak from going to the Akedah, placed rivers and mountains and and all kinds of illusions and all kinds of things did anything in the world to stop the Akedah. But Avram was not taken in by this, and he overcame every one of those temptations. And he said the reason that the Midrashim record it is not so that we can tell our kids stories about it, but we need to understand Maisa Aves Simin Labanim, which means that everything that took place to the Aves, we can access. It's part of our legacy, and we have the ability to tie into that energy. So whatever difficulties they had, and they overcame, we can overcome. He says the Sultan saw that he wasn't getting anywhere. So he figured that he needed to pull out the final stop. He turns to Avram and says, Avram, Ashrecha, what an opportunity. The fact that you're ready to do this is amazing. Incredible heights that you've attained. He says, but Avram, you need to know this claim that you have about the Shekhinah talking to you, you need to know that somebody who has not yet rectified their chatas ne'urim, the sins of their youth, people like that, when they think that they are conversing with God, really they are conversing with the dark side. And all of those things that you think you're hearing, that you think are the Almighty speaking to you, anechting tuk. Not true. Only somebody who has fully rectified every avera that they've done in their life, only those people can be secure knowing that when they hear Hashem talking to them, that Hashem is talking to them. So now, Avram, who's this consummate, humble person, who believes that he has done many, many things in violation of Hashem's will, and knows that what the Sultan is telling him is true, that people who think that the Shekhinah is talking to them before they have rectified their sins are truly living in a world of delusion. Now what does he do? He says it through Avram Avinu for a tremendous loop. Now Avram is going to back away. And then Avram Avinu recognized that while the premise is true regarding details of those things which are outside of the commandments, meaning, if a person wants to take on something which is clearly for people who are exalted people, Bali Nefesh, Mikubalim, you fill in the blanks about whatever term you want to use about a Dehaivin, a person who is exalted. But when it comes to a mitzvah, when it comes to an obligation, there is no such thing. There, no person has the right to say, you know, Shabbos is really for people who are very, very pious Jews. But for us average folk, Shabbos, Kashrus, Tefillin, Tefillah, whatever it is, if it's a commandment, you have no business making calculations about one's status. Not relevant. Elamai, there's a mitzvah. And there's a commandment of tshuva, true. Designate a time for introspection. The Baal Tanya talks about this extensively in Sefer Tanya. He says, any time a thought comes to us about our misdeeds and the stuff we've done wrong in life, it is absolutely guaranteed that that thought is not coming from Kedusha. The only time that thought comes from a place of holiness is when we designate a time to say, every day from 3 to 3:15, I'm going to beat up on myself, and do tshuva for my wrongdoings, then that's appropriate. Then that comes from the source of holiness. Any other time that those thoughts come to us, it's coming from the dark side. It's to get us down, to humiliate us, to be able to get us to do things that are wrong. So he turns to the Yetzer Hara, to the Satan, and says to him, "You're absolutely right. I really do need to take care of my sins, my errors, my past. I have an appointment tomorrow night to take care of it. Right now, I have a mitzvah to do. Shalom." And he marches forward. Says Mendel Rimanova, look how this works in the pasuk. Avraham Avinu gets up in the morning. Vayachmash is coming and he takes his donkey. Vayikach es shnei na'aravitoi. And he went with the years of his youth. Shnei na'arav can either mean his two lads, or shnei na'arav can mean the years of his youth. He went with the years of his youth. Vayavak out to island, he splits the wood and he goes. And the pasuk says, "V'yaras amokim merochek." He sees that he's distant. The sultan says to him, "You are very far from where you need to be." Vayema Avram el na'arav. So Avram says to these years of his youth, "Shvulachem poyim achamor." You guys, you sins, you past, you years of youth, the things that I'm embarrassed about, you stay here with my donkey. I got a mitzvah to do. I'll come back and visit with you later. You want me to take care of it? No problem. On my watch, not on your watch. Shvulachem Poi says, "Ima chamor." Chamor is also chumrius. It's also the physicality. You sit here, I'll come back to you. And the Torah indeed says, he goes on and he does the Ma'as HaKedah. And then at the end of the parasha, the pasuk says, "Vayashav Avram on the Orav." Avram went back then afterwards to deal with his youth. You know what? When he went back to it, it didn't look nearly as bad as what the Satan painted it out to be early on, because he made it look so much worse in order to get Avram down on the fact that he shouldn't be able to perform the Ma'as HaKedah. And perhaps out of all the nisyonos that Avram Avinu overcame, that left a legacy, we need to tie ourselves with this one. Because very often the technique that evil uses to get us, to own us, is the put-down technique. Who do you think you are? I know what you've done. I know where you've been. You have no business acting so from, so righteous, pursuing any such things. After all, nobody knows you better than I do. And we need to follow Avram Avinu's direction, and that is Shvulachem Poyim Achamar. Absolutely, you're so right. I'll come visit with you a little bit later. You and I will chat. But on my time. Not when I need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That needs to be done with supreme joy and without any calculation of what went on in the past. That's not to be reckoned with right now. Just in closing, I think it's worthwhile pondering the fact that twice in this week's parsha, the Torah says, "Vayashkem Avram Baboiker," that Avram Avinu woke up in the morning. One was the day before he left for the Akedah. One was the day before he shipped off Hagar and Yishmael. And Vayashkem Avram Baboiker means Avram woke up in the morning. That means that he went to sleep. And I just would like any one of us to ponder what the night before an event, either one of these events, would look like if it was us. Would we have the state of mind to be able to go to sleep? And only a person who recognizes that they truly live in Hashem's embrace and has the peace of mind to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world, and we're living by his orders, and I do what I do, and he's going to tell me how to live my life. Those are the people about who the Torah can say, "V'yashkim Avram Baboiker." He wakes up in the morning. Okay, what's today? Oh, today I get to do the Akedah. Maidani Lefanecha, today is the Akedah. Something to ponder. Yeah.